This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation despite the fact that many people who have gotten greatly well educated, at least theoretically, by attending our most prestigious colleges and universities, have learned that the United States only exists because we stole land from the natives who lived by their millions and tens of millions in this once pristine continent. We stole the land and imposed genocidal policies on the Native Americans. Not true, says a new book. It is called Not Stolen, and it is provocative, informative, and intensely readable. We'll be speaking to the author, who teaches global economic history and economics in a prestigious European university, the University of Leiden in the Netherlands. We'll be speaking to him later this hour. First up, there's more on foreign policy with the U.S. Unlocking $6 billion, which is a lot of money, for Iran. And in return for what? In return for releasing some American prisoners who never should have been taken prisoner. They're actually Iranian Americans who have American citizenship, but got in trouble over in Iran, one of whom has been held in prison there. Can you imagine? For 8 years. The Biden administration has issued a waiver for banks to transfer $6 billion in frozen Iranian oil funds without fear of U.S. sanctions, a key step in securing the release of five American citizens detained in Iran, people familiar with the matter said. As part of the arrangement, the administration will release five Iranian citizens who are detained in the United States. Congress was notified of the move yesterday, and it's likely to come as a relief to U.S. prisoners, families, and supporters, many of whom have waited several years for the return of the detainees. It also is expected to come under harsh criticism from Republicans in Congress opposed to any agreement that allows for the release of frozen Iranian funds, money that is now being transferred from South Korea to Qatar and limited for the purchase of humanitarian goods like food or medicine. The deal marks a major breakthrough for the longtime adversaries who remain at loggerheads over a range of issues, including the rapid expansion of Tehran's nuclear program, its ongoing military support for Russia, and Iran's harsh crackdown on dissent. This was the statement by the president of Iran on NBC. His name is Ebrahim Raisi, and he said, explained how they would be using this money that the Biden administration is releasing. Listen, clip 15.
Do you believe you have the right to use that money in any way that you see fit?
This money belongs to the Islamic Republic of Iran, and naturally, we will decide, the Islamic Republic of Iran will decide to spend it wherever we need it. How to spend our money, of course, it is under the authority of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
So if I hear you clearly, that it will be used for more than humanitarian purposes, in your view?
Humanitarian means whatever the Iranian people needs. So this money will be budgeted for those needs. And the needs of the Iranian people will be decided and determined by the Iranian government.
Okay, this is contradicted by the State Department. The State Department issued a statement last night, said these funds will be moved to restricted accounts in Qatar, and the United States will have oversight as to how and when these funds are used. It is a longstanding U.S. policy to ensure our sanctions do not prevent food, medicine, and other humanitarian goods and services from flowing to ordinary people, no matter how objectionable their governments. It is not too early to wonder whether, with this contradiction about how free the Islamic Republic is to spending this money, to see that this deal may yet fall apart. A reporter was asking a State Department spokesman on the air, okay, you're unblocking the $6 billion for Iran, basically, so they can do anything they want with it. This is clip 14.
So this whole thing about we're not giving it, we're not doing it, you are unblocking it, basically. You're telling international banks in these European countries and Asia and in the Middle East that you're fine. Go ahead and do it. So the idea that you don't have anything to do with it is...
I did not say that and would not say that. We are, of course, taking steps to effectuate the transfer of these funds, these Iranian funds. However, the point I take issue with, to give something, it must be something that's yours. And this is not our money. This is Iranian money.
Give the waiver, grant the waivers, then they wouldn't get the money.
I'm not disagreeing with that. Although it's their money in the first place, they wouldn't have access to it. They wouldn't be able to effectively. History repeats itself.
Okay. Again, not so clear or direct, but very clear and direct as a former Vice President of the United States, the Honorable Mike Pence, who ripped this latest deal, which is again, at very best, shaky and dubious. Here's Mike Pence.
I welcome the release of American citizens from any country in the world. But when we pay ransom payments to terrorist regimes like Iran, we only encourage them.
Right, and this is basically the main objection to this particular deal, which is still pending, is that it encourages people to take more hostages, people like the Iranians. The top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Michael McCaul of Texas, said that the unfreezing of funds creates a direct incentive for America's adversaries to conduct future hostage taking. Nobody wants that. McCaul added that the timing of the deal, the tenth of the September 16th anniversary of the death of Mahsa Amini, a 22-year-old woman who died in the custody of Iran's morality police and ignited nationwide demonstrations, was particularly egregious. Besides its clampdown on internal criticism last year, Iran has come under criticism for providing Russia powerful self-detonating drones that the Kremlin has used in its invasion of Ukraine. And by the way, they're going to get a bunch of wonderful new weapons from North Korea. The dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, is rolling into Vladivostok. At least that was one of the headlines that I saw, which I think is making fun, which I think is permitted, of the roly-poly shape of Kim Jong-un. He's rolling into Vladivostok, which reminds people how close Russia actually is to the border with North Korea. It's not so far away, and even closer now with their cooperation. A new axis of evil? Well, that's a fact. We will also be speaking about the mystery of Joe Manchin. There is a piece in the New York Times. It says, as Manchin considers the future, Democrats hang on his every word. Why is that? Well, because Joe Manchin could, number one, end any chance of the Democrats winning the presidency or Biden getting reelected. And number two, he at the same time could end any chance of the Democrats holding the U.S. Senate. Why? We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
public resignation from the New York Times exposing bias and anti-Semitism shook the nation. She is the author of The Twitter Files, which exposed the orchestrated bias against conservatives in social media. On Friday, October 13th, join featured speaker Barry Weiss at Washington Policy Center's annual dinner. WPC is your voice for market-based reforms. It exposed the new so-called excise tax on capital gains as an income tax, no matter what officials call it. And while the governor and cap-and-trade advocates promised minimal to no impact on gas prices, WPC warned it would raise the tax you pay on gas by approximately 45 cents a gallon. And WPC research showed the encroachment of critical race theory in Washington's classrooms. WPC provides the insight and analysis you need to stay informed and to act. Subscribe to WPC's free weekly newsletter and support improving our state with free market principles. October 13th in Bellevue at the Hyatt Regency. Ticket and sponsorship details at WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Number one, I want to say thank you for always doing this because you are really good about the disagreement. But anyway, whatever. I was listening to you yesterday. I was horrified.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
If you're horrified, don't keep your horror to yourself. Share it with the world at 1-800-955-1776. This lengthy piece in the New York Times, which is actually quite favorable to Senator Joe Manchin, the centrist Democrat from West Virginia, People have called him a conservative. I think that's too much. He's not really. He's been a Democrat his whole life. He was a Democratic governor. He's been a Democratic senator. But now he may be running for president as an independent, or he may be running as a Democrat to hold that key Democratic Senate seat in West Virginia for his party. They write in the New York Times, Senator Joe Manchin III, the conservative West Virginia Democrat, you see, there they go, was attending an event in his home state last month when he made a joke that quickly touched off the latest round of feverish speculation about his political future. He said he was going to endorse the Republican governor to be the new basketball coach at University of West Virginia. Because that Republican governor, whose name is Jim Justice, and he's tall. He's like 6 foot eight. So he would be an appropriate basketball coach. But he's already announced that he's running for U.S. Senate as a Republican, and means he would be running against Joe Manchin. And is it possible that Joe Manchin would still win in one of the most Republican states in the Union? Well, he has a lot of local popularity. As the last pivotal Democratic senator who has not yet stated whether he will seek re-election or not, Mr. Manchin still has Washington and his party guessing about his plans. Behind closed doors, Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, the majority leader, has been relentlessly encouraging him to run. Regarding Mr. Manchin, perhaps the only Democrat with a chance to win a statewide contest in deeply conservative West Virginia, as key to preserving his party's tenuous control of the Senate. Trump won almost 70% of the vote in West Virginia. It's not likely to go Democratic. Democrats across the country have been praying that Manchin will seek re-election rather than pursue a presidential bid through the centrist political group No Labels, which could draw votes from President Biden and help elect a Republican. In a brief interview in the basement of the Senate last week, Mr. Manchin said he would make a decision by the end of the year. If he intends to run for re-election, he must inform the state by January. The bottom line is, I've been in West Virginia for a long time and moving in the right direction, he said. Our approval rating is up quite substantially in a very, very red state. So I feel very good about all those things. The deal with No Labels is they have now secured a ballot position in for their party in 11 states. Now, it's not enough to win the presidency, but they're hoping to use some of their $70 million war chest to sign up and get on the ballot in other states. They are next April going to be nominating someone for president. Apparently, Larry Hogan, the former Republican governor of Maryland, is also interested in running for president on the No Labels ticket. And at least the thinking is that because Larry Hogan is a former Republican, that he would draw more votes away from Trump, but that Joe Manchin, because he's been a lifelong Democrat, would take votes away from Biden. Here is Manchin on CNN talking about his future, which is a very big question in Washington, D.C.
I want to be a voice. I want to be a voice in the middle. I think anyone looks at my record and says, Joe Manchin has always voted in the center. I tell people, I says, I am fiscally responsible and socially compassionate. And I think most Americans are that way. And all of this, it's got to be someone's fault. It can't be mine. Let me tell you, I've never met the first person that's always wrong. And I surely never met the first person that's always right. And we've got to start working together for the main purpose of this country. The people are depending on us. And I want to be that voice. So I've got some gas in the tank left. However I can use it to best help my country, I'm going to do.
I believe he is 76 years old. So he's even younger than President Trump, and similarly energetic. And again, Joe Biden, of course, will be before this next presidential inauguration, 82. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis, who's one of those people who is looking to replace Joe Biden as the Republican nominee, decides that, there is something about impeachment that argues against it. And that something is called Kamala Harris. Listen, this is clip four.
Well, look, I mean, this is a guy that's stumbling around the world stage. He's projecting weakness. I think our enemies have already taken advantage of that. They're like, it's likely to invite even more problems around the world. And so, you know, it's sad, but I think it's obvious that he's been struggling for quite some time. And you're right. The corporate press is going to do whatever they can to run interference for him. And I also look and think about who's waiting in the wings with Kamala, and I think you're right in terms of the aptitude, even though she's a lot younger, I think she's basically been his impeachment insurance, because people know no matter how bad Biden is, nobody wants Harris, and that's just the reality, and that's a sad situation America finds ourselves in.
Okay, it is a sad situation, and again, it's Kamala. He, I think, said Kamala, which apparently greatly offends the vice president. Joe Manchin and the idea of his third party possibility. It says in the Times he has a third option, which might be to simply retire at age 76. His alma mater, West Virginia University, is in deep trouble, slashing its budget, laying off faculty, and even eliminating its foreign language program. Its president, E. Gordon G., turns 80 in February, and a chance to lead the university out of crisis could be tempting for Senator Manchin, his allies said. Well, this is fascinating because, remember, we lost a very fine Republican senator, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, who took a job as president of the University of Florida and left the Senate for that occasion. Meanwhile, there's a tendency in America right now to begin any kind of formal event with a land theft acknowledgement honoring American Indian tribes. Does that make sense? We'll be talking with the author of a sensational new book. It's called Not Stolen. Coming right up on the MedVet Show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Escaped Pennsylvania killer Danilo Cavalcante is now armed. That's according to the head of the Pennsylvania State Police. State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens disclosed that Cavalcante took a rifle from an open garage. The homeowner shot at him as he fled. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's thrown his support behind an impeachment inquiry into President Biden.
This logical next step will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and answers for the American public.
McCarthy pointed to concerns over business transactions between the Biden family and foreign entities. Both the president and his son have denied any wrongdoing. Apple has launched the iPhone 15 and iPhone 15 Pro, the first to use USB-C charging cables. The models feature tougher glass, enhanced cameras, and satellite service. Additionally, Apple unveiled their first carbon-neutral product, the Series 9 Apple Watch. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Michael Medved show, it's worth asking, what is it that various public events seem to have in common, no matter what they're about, whether they're sporting events or high cultural events? I was at the Seattle Symphony a couple of weeks ago, and it began with a land acknowledgement. We acknowledge that we are on the land of the Duwamish people, etc., etc. And then again, there are sports games and games of soccer and basketball that also begin with land acknowledgments, basically trying to make people feel guilty before you begin whatever it is you're beginning by acknowledging the idea that America basically is a country stolen from Native Americans. Well, not stolen, says a new book. That's the name of the book. It is completely necessary, and it's tremendously wonderful and readable. It's actually hard to put down once you start reading it. The subtitle is The Truth About European Colonialism in the New World. The author is a professor of history at University of Leiden in the Netherlands, though he is an American originally. Jeff Finn Paul, congratulations for Not Stolen. The information, by the way, is posted to our website. When you look at the mistakes that people make about the history of interaction between European colonizers and Native Americans, what's the most significant misunderstanding or lie?
Hi, Michael. Thanks very much for having me on, and thanks so much for the praise for the book. Some of the biggest issues are genocide now and stolen land, and these are buzzwords that only a few radical historians used 10 years ago, but now it seems like you hear them everywhere.
And what's the arguments you give in the book with the population statistics and the analysis from different academic sources are devastating to this argument of genocide. How do we know that the treatment of Native Americans was not genocidal?
Well, if we look at the island of Hispaniola where Columbus first landed, for example, specialists have for decades been saying there was only a couple of 100,000 people on the island. Now, we do know there was maybe only 40 or 50,000 people after the Spanish had been there for a couple decades. So it already looks kind of bad for the Spanish. But then there was one set of demographers in the 1970s who estimated the population of Hispaniola at 8 million people. 8 million compared to these normal estimates of a couple hundred thousand. And guess who gets quoted every single day on the internet by every journalist? It's the people who came up with this crazy idea of 8 million. And they use that to beat Europeans over the head as if Columbus and his men killed millions of people on this island. When this would indicate that people farming with stone hoes produce more food, for example, than contemporary England, if there were really that many millions of people on Hispaniola. So obviously that simply can't be the case. And the real number was actually found out in 2020 by a genetic study. And that determined there was maybe only 40 or 50,000 people on the island before Columbus arrived. So that's the smoking gun, if you will.
It's fascinating, your treatment of Columbus. There is a famous statement that actually was featured in the TV series Yellowstone, where somebody says that Columbus saw the people on Hispaniola and said they would make good slaves. And you take a look at the actual Spanish, because that was written down, and that wasn't the point at all. What was it that Columbus was actually trying to say?
Exactly. They used the word servidores, which means servants, and what Columbus meant was servants of the crown. In other words, citizens. So Columbus was actually saying that the Indians on Hispaniola would make great citizens of the Spanish empire. Not underlings, let alone slaves.
One of the things that I found completely compelling and fascinating, and I've got to admit I did not know that literally half of the population of the New World, that's North America and South America, was in Mexico. The Aztec population was a very significant population. But other than that concentration of about 50% of the population in Mexico and another 25% in the Inca Empire, the New World, the Western Hemisphere, really was very sparsely populated, wasn't it?
That's just it, and a lot of my critics get very upset when you say that North America had very few people, but think about it. It froze pretty hard in the winters, even down to Louisiana, and so not a lot of people wanted to live there. They all lived further south in Mexico. And the thing is, American historians get very upset that America was, quote, emptied of natives, and then they want to blame Europeans, but actually, when you look at Mexico, today, 80% or 90% of Mexicans are indigenous or part indigenous, so they did not get driven away. It's just that there weren't that many people in North America. That's the only difference.
And when you talk about one of the things you have in your book, which, by the way, is also included in my book from 10 years ago, the 10 Big Lies About America.
Yes.
There are so many people who believe that there was a deliberate plan to exterminate Native tribes by passing out smallpox blankets. And it's all based on one letter from Lord Jeffrey Amherst, who was a royal general during the 18th century. What's this real story in the smallpox blankets?
Yeah, well, precisely. I mean, disease spread in the 16th and 17th century, and there wasn't anything anyone could do about it. It spread for hundreds of miles beyond the frontier, so to blame Europeans for that is rather ridiculous. Then when you go and look at how many instances of smallpox blankets that historians have found, There's literally one instance in all of American history. And then you look at what Thomas Jefferson did, and he actually, as soon as the vaccine was invented in 1796, within 10 years, Jefferson was having Lewis and Clark distribute it across North America to the natives for the purpose of saving them. And that went on through the whole 19th century. So we're hearing the opposite of the truth from most journalists today.
What do we call the opposite of the truth? Do we usually call that a lie? The book is called Not Stolen, The Truth About European Colonialism in the New World. And as a piece of American history, there's a great deal of material here about the Spanish Empire, about the French colonists, about others. But, of course, it focuses on the United States of America because America's gotten so much of the blame. I want to get into this idea that there were deliberate massacres to slaughter Indians and that people followed the alleged saying by General Philip Sheridan, which he never really said, the only good Indian is a bad Indian, a dead Indian, dead Indian. And we will get to that in a moment. We will get to more with Professor Jeff Finn Paul. He's a professor of history and distinguished author of many books about the world of the 16th, 17th, 18th century, and he teaches at the University of Leiden. What about this idea of stolen land? Were there actually negotiations for land? Did Native Americans and did those tribes have any sense of what land ownership meant? Actually, there's some surprising answers in this book and some surprising background about people who are peddling what you would say is not true. In other words, lies. More coming up, including the truth, the awful truth. It's actually pretty cool about Thanksgiving. That and more coming up on the MedVent Show.
This is going to be a little bit provocative.
The Michael MedVent Show.
You know how the line to the song goes. It's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy. It's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinary. Extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
On the Michael Medved Show, a wonderfully stimulating, informative, and necessary new book is called Not Stolen, which is a provocative title right there. The subtitle, The Truth About European Colonialism in the New World. And the cover for the book features a long-ago portrait that is a recreation, a painting, of the initial negotiation for buying the island of Manhattan. And with Peter Minuit, the Dutch settler, and giving a bunch of elaborate trinkets to some of the local Indian tribes with whom they negotiated. Was this really such a ripoff, the idea of paying the equivalent of $24 in trinkets in return for Manhattan Island, or why did the Indians think they got a good deal?
Michael, I think that's why we need more economic history in the history profession, because most of my colleagues have no idea how a market works. The Indians gratefully, happily accepted these, quote, trinkets because they were life-changing for them. These trinkets included metal cooking pots, firearms, axes, things that made their lives, you know, many times better. And meanwhile, the land that they were giving to the colonists, they thought it was mosquito-filled and basically worthless. It was hunting ground. They might take a few deer out of it per year. But compared to these metal tools, that land was basically nothing.
Well, in terms of other negotiations, I mean, it's famous that the United States and the British before us and the French, of course, and other European powers were not particularly meticulous in terms of following treaties and agreements that they made with Native Americans. What is the most egregious example on the other side of cruelty and double dealing and dishonesty on the part of European settlers?
Sure. Well, one of the things that I was really surprised by looking into this is just how much of a thriving and deep land market there was, for example, in colonial New England that lasted for, you know, over 100 years, where Indians were an integral part of that market. However, there were certainly times when settlers might gang up on the Indians. They might do double dealing. So certainly they had a bit of an advantage, especially as their numbers got higher later on. So there is a sense that there were unscrupulous dealers in this market, just like you would find anywhere. At the same time, some Indians were salesmen themselves and made quite a killing off the land market. So you have people on all sides being both, you know, good and moral and also being a bit crooked and shady.
One of the grim episodes that most Americans have never heard of, because it isn't flattering to the native peoples, is King Philip's War in the late 1600s, where huge numbers of the white settlers were massacred. Why do you think so many people, most people who study history, never learn about what happened with King Philip's War? And King Philip doesn't refer to the Philips who were kings of Spain. It refers to a local tribal leader, Metacomet. Is that right?
Yeah, well, that's just it. People don't hear about these things because there's a bias in the historical profession right now that you're basically only allowed to say bad things about Europeans. That is encouraged, but if you say bad things about the natives, then, you know, you might lose your job. So a number of these wars, including right after the Jamestown settlement was started, there were several times that the Indians committed basically genocidal surprise attacks on colonists who were living peacefully amongst the natives because there had been so much peace between the two peoples for many years. But there were some native chieftains who very craftily decided they were going to go to war, and so they knew the best chance for success was a surprise attack. So King Philip's War, they ended up killing almost a quarter of the white settlers in the region through this surprise attack, largely because the settlers were expecting that everything was going to remain peaceful just as it had done for 50 years.
And one of the things points you make very strongly is a point that we try to repeat every Thanksgiving, which is that there really was a peaceful relationship between the Wampanoag Indians and the Pilgrims who set up Plymouth Plantation. And that peace lasted without being violated for 50 years, with the Pilgrims actually helping their Wampanoag allies against some other hostile Indian tribes.
Precisely. And it wasn't just that one tribe, but many tribes across Massachusetts were actively working with the European settlers to create a biracial society. There were so many schools being opened. There were Bibles being translated into the Indian language. The settlers in the 17th century assumed that Indian society was there to stay, just like Arabic society or Chinese society when they set up trading forts over there. So they were expecting long-term biracial cooperation, and it's really wonderful to read about this and see just how much idealism there was before King Philip's War.
What about the most notorious sort of end-of-the-cycle story, which has inspired many one in a negative sense, inspired spasms of guilt and apology and horror, which is the so-called massacre at Wounded Knee? What do we get wrong about that from the 1890s?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, there are a lot of people who don't realize just how much backing and forthing there was on the ground, how many peace treaties were signed, how many times that both Indians and the American troops reneged on these. And so a lot of these massacres like Wounded Knee started out as attempts to disarm the natives, but then basically a fight broke out, and a lot of soldiers are killed in a lot of these skirmishes. So even at the very end, there was a lot more give and take than most people realize was going on.
Well, I know that there were people who won, soldiers who died on the field at Wounded Knee and won the Medal of Honor, decorations, which are now, 100 years later, trying to be removed. What about the term Indians? You use that term together with terms like natives or indigenous people. Do you think it's appropriate to refer to some of the natives of North America and South America as Indians?
Well, when I see many statements by various Indian chiefs and Native American academics who throughout the 1980s and 90s were saying, we want to be called Indians, thank you very much. And then I realized that the term Native American is mostly just being imposed by sort of, you know, politically correct people. A lot of times, Indians want to be called Indians, and that can be attested in all sorts of ways. It sounds surprising to us now. But there, most textbooks about Indians were called, they had Indian in the title right up to about the year 2010. So I think that, again, this is one of these instances of oversensitivity that's being imposed by a tiny minority on maybe even, you know, the minority that they're trying to protect, i.e. Native Americans.
In terms of Native Americans, Indians, what's the best thing about their history, their achievement, their survival, and actual recently flourishing in the United States that gets almost no attention?
Well, that's just it. I think that Native Americans have been a huge inspiration to other Americans from time immemorial, really. And so many aspects of 20th century American culture were based on, yes, we can call them stereotypes, but they were ultimately well-meaning and kind of attempting to honor Native Americans. But now, it seems like everyone assumes that if you talk about another culture, then you're automatically saying something negative, which is ridiculous. Even sports teams. U.S. military titles and the names of helicopters, these things were all intended as honoring the Native Americans. And that's
you mentioned
that
you mentioned how the scouting movement, the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, were originally meant to honor Native Americans and aspects of Native American culture. The book is wildly informative and entertaining. It is called Not Stolen: The Truth About European Colonialism in the New World. And fascinating to speak to Professor Jeff Finn Paul of the University of Leiden in the Netherlands. We will continue this kind of conversation coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Discover Tuscany in California at Allegretto Vineyard Resort by Ayers. Located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, Allegretto Vineyard Resort is nestled in the heart of Paso Robles wine country and evokes the character and charm of an Italian estate. Voted as one of the best wine country hotels by USA Today, indulge in memorable experiences as you tilt back a glass of award-winning Allegretto wines. Savor locally farmed and foraged cuisine at Cello Restaurante and Bar while enjoying soothing spa treatments from the boutique spa Allegretto. Experience the handcrafted joy today with rates starting at $209 per night, Sunday through Thursday stays throughout the month of August. Use promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today with promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Allegretto Resort.com.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.